Shalom broadcast, bringing hope and health and healing to children and young people. This morning, we'll be talking to Becky Fisher, internationally known curricula designer, teacher training, who is redefining children's ministry, calling for a radical change for children to know and demonstrate the power of God's love now so that they never leave to search for the supernatural on the dark side. And we are so excited. We are going to be using her curriculum at Brushy Creek Church. We're just so excited to be talking to Becky Fisher. Be sure all your friends are awake and listening, especially anyone who is working with children in a church program. Welcome, Becky. Are you there? Sister Becky?
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
All righty. Sounds good.
We are so glad to be talking with you. We have been waiting for this. I know the people who work in the children's ministry at Brushy Creek have been waiting, and I've got children's pastors tuning in this morning, and we are so excited. We've been reading your book, Redefining Children's Ministry. We just couldn't put it down.
Praise God.
Yes. So tell us, what could be in the children's ministry department? Why shouldn't we do things the way we have always done them, and what could be the vision?
Well, what's a very interesting thing is that there's been some statistics that have come out in the last few years concerning our kids, and the frightening statistics are is that by the time a child goes through our Sunday school classes and our Bible-believing churches, by the time they reach the age of 13 years old, if their hearts have not already been captured by the gospel, that there's only a 4% chance of ever reaching them with the gospel beyond that point. And whereas under the age of 12, 32% of them will receive Jesus when offered the salvation message. But what happens is when those young people get to that point, whatever has been put into them by that point is pretty much set in stone. Statistics show us that what they believe by the time they're 13 years old, they will carry those beliefs with them to their grave. And some of the things that we're finding out is that the average 13-year-old, after having gone through our Sunday schools, will tell you that, to their knowledge, they've never heard the voice of God, they've never felt His presence, and they feel they know everything there is to know about God and have no further need of going to church. Now, those are very frightening things when you think of, for instance, never having felt His presence, never hearing His voice. How long would we as adults stay hooked up to the churches that we go to if those two things were not going on in our adult services? We would be looking for another church. And yet we don't have the mindset that children are even cognizant of those things, and so that it's a non-issue in our minds. So our whole ministry is based on trying to completely redefine how we view children, and not to look at them as that they're going to be the, and I know we hear this all the time, the church of tomorrow, no, they're the church of the day, but we really don't know what that means even when we mouth it. What it really means is if they're the church of today, then today they need to be equipped in the things of the Spirit. Then today they need to be offered salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then today they need to know how to hear God's voice. Then today they need to know how to heal the sick and to do the things that Jesus did. They need to know those things today, because if we don't teach them how to operate in those things today, chances are they may not ever learn those things. Unless they somehow just aggressively go after them as an adult. But it's today, because we don't want to lose them by the time they become teenagers.
Right, and our world is a supernatural world, and lots of really scary and dangerous things come at our adolescents.
Oh, absolutely. I've been saying for years that kids are hungry for the supernatural, and I think about, you know, how we as Christians, when Harry Potter came on the scene, for instance, we just all just went ballistic, and how dare they let these books be in our schools and blah, 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 blah. But what we really overlooked was the whole reason those books were so sought after by kids is because kids are hungry for the supernatural, and when they can't find it inside the local church, they're going to seek for it somewhere else. And it met a spiritual need in the lives of these young people that the church was not aware of, because the church doesn't really view children as spiritual beings.
Right. We are so used to throwing a retread Bible study, a snack, and a video. And they want to be fed and connected with the Almighty God who is powerful. But how do we do that?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, how do we do that? We are so used to reading Bible stories from Bible storybooks.
And that's the problem right there. We do a lot of teaching to help adults understand the direction that they need to change. In fact, when we go out and teach, I also sell curriculums because as a children's pastor, I was a children's pastor for 10 years, and as a children's pastor, I could not find material that went in the direction that I wanted to go. Everything was just a repackaging of Noah's Ark over and over again, if you will. And it was like I came to the conclusion, well, how many ways can you repackage Noah's Ark anyway? And the kids, by the time they're 10, 11, 12, they've heard the Bible stories so many times. I remember myself as a 12-year-old kid, my dad was the pastor, so I had to go to church every Sunday. Not had to, I liked to go to church, but I was there every Sunday. And I remember thinking by the age of 12, if I hear the story of David and Goliath one more time, I'm going to scream. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is we know that children like stories, and we know that that even Jesus taught using stories, which we call parables. But the problem is we never really understand that kids are so much more capable of understanding and grasping the deeper things of God. And it's okay to tell them the Bible stories, but you've got to go beyond that and give them the true meat of the Word.
Yes.
And that's how you get out of the Bible story syndrome and begin offering them what they're really hungry for.
The true meat of the Word. And I know you really mean that. In fact, last Sunday I stood in the hall with a woman who is in charge of our program, and she was reading your curriculum, and there were several points of theology she went to the pastor about. And he said, oh, yes, that's in the Bible. But she had been in the church all her life, and so she was getting fed off of the curriculum.
Yes, absolutely. Our curriculum, and this is not to promote the curriculum, but the reason that we have it is because it's meeting an unmet need in the body of Christ right now. We teach the kids on all the very foundational. In fact, every single one of our curriculums is so foundational, but on a different subject. For instance, we have one on the blood of Jesus. We take 13 weeks and we go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and explain to the kids everything that there is to know about the blood of Jesus. You think, how gory, why would you do that? And what a topic for kids. I'll tell you what, that is one of the most popular curriculums that we have, because if you don't understand the blood of Jesus, you don't understand your salvation. You know, we have a foundational curriculum called Our Amazing God, in which we break down the Trinity, and we explain how each person of the Trinity relates to our lives and how it compares to all other gods and that type of thing. And we go into great detail explaining why it was important that Jesus was sinless, not just that he was, but why is it important that we believe this? Why is it important that we believe that he was the Son of God? Why is it important that we believe that he came as God to this earth? And we go through all of the various aspects of this very foundational material, and it's like we never really get around to explaining to kids why. And this is a generation that wants to know why. They're not satisfied for just doing things just because you told them they have to. They want to know why they have to do. Why do they have to believe this way? Why? What is important about it? We have a foundational curriculum on Israel, of all things. Why would you teach Israel to kids? I'll tell you what, if you don't understand our Jewish roots, you don't understand where we came from. You don't understand where we're going. You don't even understand the connection with all of that and Jesus coming back to earth again. So it's foundational truths in the Bible, and many teachers walk away saying, I learned more than the kids did. There's a lot of stuff that's really not being taught in our churches today. And so, yes, another confirmation.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's no reason for children on Sunday morning to say, oh, I don't want to go to church, it's so boring. But you're not just talking about more academics, are you?
Absolutely not. We have core values in our ministry. One of the core values when we're teaching children is, first of all, give them the meat of the Word, as we've been discussing. The second core value is that we equip the little saints for the work of the ministry. For instance, we don't just tell them that Jesus healed the sick. We show them how they can heal the sick. We just don't tell them that it's possible to hear God's voice. We teach them how to hear God's voice, and we actually practice right in our children's services. And the third core value is that we create each one of our services. We design them in such a way that they can enter in to the presence of God and the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit at some point in our service, so that they actually are conscious of feeling His presence, hearing His voice, and being in touch with Him and having an actual interaction with the Holy Spirit. Those are the core values of our children's ministry, and when that goes on, it is amazing. In fact, let me tell you, I was just in Nova Scotia just a few weeks ago, and I had spent a whole week teaching in a local church. There was about 10 different churches that came together, and we had a conference up there for a weekend. And the Sunday morning, one of the ladies from the other churches came over to where I was teaching and says, "I have to share this testimony with everybody." She says, "I went back to my church after this weekend and told them we absolutely have to get this curriculum into our church." She said, "I had begun to notice that my granddaughter had at one time just loved going to church and was just having such a great time, and then all of a sudden she became very disinterested, really didn't care if she went or not, and her whole spiritual focus was just, you know, really waning." And she says, "So I took this and I said, we've got to get this curriculum into our children's ministry so that they'll become more interested in God." And the people looked at it and says, "Well, we used to teach that curriculum, but the new person that came in to the children's ministry leadership took it out and began to go back to more traditional Sunday school." And so they put two and two together, and the woman was going, "Oh my goodness, that's why my granddaughter was loving to go to church, and now they're going back to the traditional ways, and she hates to go to church again." Mm-hmm. And so this just confirms to you, when you give the kids the meat, when you equip them for the work of the ministry, when you bring them into the presence of God, they love going to church.
Right, and they can know and feel the presence and the power of God.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing.
Well, let me interrupt you. We're going to come back and ask you about that in a minute, but let's take a break.
Educators, reduce conflict on your staff, clear up business problems, and motivate your staff. Sharon Sarles will show you how. Yes, and recognized clock hours are available for early childhood and private school educators in Texas. For more information, go to www.orgstrat.net. That's orgstrat.net. Training educators since 1990 and consulting since 1998.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory. Rejoice in what the Lord has done.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. My name is Sharon Sarles, and today we are talking with Becky Fisher, who is redefining children's ministry in a way that children can know and demonstrate the word and power of God. So we were saying, Becky.
Yes. Would you repeat your question again?
Well,
that you were asking me right before the break.
Oh, gosh. I'm afraid I've lost it, too. But we were talking about children really knowing the power of God and it actually in the children's service, hearing from God and interacting in a real way, just like we want to do in our services as adults.
That's correct. I believe what I was going to say is I was going to talk about children and adults' perception of whether or not they can hear God's voice.
Right.
In fact, I sat in a service one time where a very eloquent minister had explained so well how to hear God's voice for over an hour to his audience, and there were kids all over the room, although it was not a children's service. And I sat there thinking, he is doing such an excellent job that every child in this place can understand what he's saying. And when he concluded his sermon, I nearly fell off my chair, because he had ended it by saying, everybody in this room who is 13 years of age and older needs to know how to hear the voice of God. And I sat there thinking, oh, Lord. And the problem is, this is the basic mentality of the church, that if you're under the age of 13, you're brain dead spiritually, that you have no capacity for the things of the Spirit. And if there's anybody that needs to know how to be led by the Spirit of God, it's our children. I firmly believe that if they are taught how to hear the voice of God, that there'll be a little boy or a little girl who won't go over to a neighbor's house to play because the Spirit says no. And if they would have gone, something horrible would have happened when they have gotten there. That they will know by the Spirit of God which friends, kids to be friends with and which kids not to be friends with. They'll know by the Spirit of God whether they should take a certain route home or whether they should go. What I'm saying is, it's as important for children to know how to be led by the Spirit of God as it is for an adult. And if you think kids can't do it, then think again, because the Bible says that they can. Think about the little boy Samuel. Little boy Samuel, we know that he was a very young child when he was taken to the temple. When the Holy Spirit began to speak to him, the voice of God began to speak. And even Eli didn't have a capacity for really believing or understanding that a child could understand and hear the voice of God until it finally just dawned on him what was going on. And for your listeners who don't know that story, I won't recap it right now for the sake of time, but this little boy Samuel began to hear the voice of God. And it wasn't a problem of his inability to hear. The problem was he didn't know what it was he was hearing. He had to have someone coach him. He had to have someone teach him. He had to have someone explain to him, oh, that's the voice of God. Go back and say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. And that's the way children are today. When I think of those 13-year-olds that walk out of our churches and say, to my knowledge, I've never heard the voice of God, I want to cry out and say, I don't believe they never heard the voice of God. What I believe is no one ever bothered to tell them how he speaks, what he says when he does speak, how to recognize his voice. And that's where we come in as adults, as parents, as children's leaders, and even pastors and church leadership. We are the ones who have to be the Elis in the lives of these little Samuels.
Mm-hmm. I was just amazed when I read what you said about train up a child, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In fact, what we're doing is teaching a little bit and hoping that when they're very old, they might come back. But that's not what the verse says.
That's not what it says at all. In fact, it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so that is the mentality. Well, when they become teenagers, they'll rebel. And in their teenage years, in their young 20s or whatever, they'll go out and sow their wild oats. But eventually, they'll come back to their roots. You know what? Most of them don't come back to their roots when they've gone out into sin that long. And if they do, they've destroyed a whole bunch of lives in between that point. And they've even destroyed their own lives in many cases. What that scripture actually says is the word for old, if you go back into the original text, it comes from the root word beard. And if you look at the root word and if you look at the actual meaning, it says, when that child becomes old enough to grow a beard, or when that child gets old enough that he has pubic hair, when that child gets to that point where he's ready to turn into an adult, if you have trained him up in the ways of the Lord, at that point he will not depart from the faith. And so what it means is he will never depart from the faith through his whole life. It does not mean that he'll go sow his wild oats and come back 20 years later.
Mm-hmm. And we need to train. When we sit up, sit down, rise up, going and coming,
That's exactly right. It's a whole mindset. And this is where parents come in. This is where the church, as leaders, that we need to begin to educate our parents. We live in a culture, and I've had some experiences where I have received a certain amount of notoriety because of a movie that I was in, and in this film, people see children who are just passionately in prayer and passionately seeking the face of God and passionately interceding on behalf of other people, and they don't have a grid for that. They don't understand what it is they're seeing because they themselves have never experienced that same passion. And so they look at that and they hurl accusations of like brainwashing and child abuse and just all this. They're so horrified at what they see because they don't understand that that is the response that children have. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says that children are more responsive and have deeper experiences with God than the average adult does. And these children are passionately going after him when they're taught what to go after. And the big thing that they throw at me is just leave those kids alone and let them make up their own mind about religion when they become adults. Leave them alone. I have to think, why is it that communist countries and various religions in the world, it's against the law to proselytize a child under the age of 18? I think, isn't that interesting? And it's because if you leave them alone spiritually, they are open prey for anything. Mm-hmm. And so we come back to the church, and we look at what we're doing with our children. We look at how our parents disciple their children, and oops, our parents are not discipling their children.
Right.
We
need to get passionate.
Are taking them to church, hoping that the church can do something and put something into their kids because they feel ill-equipped or they don't feel an urgency about reaching their children with the gospel or training them, or they don't know that they should be because it was never modeled before them. And they bring them to church, and the church doesn't know anything but to do the Bible story thing over and over again. And yet the parent feels like, well, I did my job. I took them to church, and yet the child goes away having not been impacted by an encounter with Jesus. And so they go through their whole growing up years, and they never, never are truly discipled in the faith.
Okay.
And we've got to get it over to parents that this is not the job of the church to raise their children spiritually. It's the job of the parent in the home. And somehow we have to get over to them the urgency that it is urgent because it's while a child is young that his belief system is set in place. While as a child is before the ages of, by the time a kid is 7 years old, he's already a miniature adult. He's already a miniature version of what he's going to be as an adult. By the time he's 9 or 10, his morals are already set in place. Can you believe that? By the time he's 9 or 10, what he believes about right and wrong, ethics, morals, all the rest of it, is set in place by the age of 9 or 10.
Thanks, Becky. I've got my own urgency here with the clock ticking. We could talk forever, and I'm just so excited. It sounds right to me. So I would encourage everyone to find Sister Becky at www.kidsinministry.org, and you can reach Great Shalom Broadcast at P.O. Box 971, Austin, Texas, 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, 78630. And you are invited back to the Great Shalom Broadcast next week for the founder of Teen CEO in San Antonio. And so, Sister Becky, any final word, short word?
Just I just encourage people to get on the website because I have 45 hours of teaching, so I could go on forever. And there's so much to be learned, but we've got so many helps, so many testimonies of how to show people what to do. That's one of the things people will catch the vision, and then they go, but where do I go from here?
Okay.
We've got those answers on the website.
Okay, kidsinministry.org. Now, praise God, this interview was recorded back in 09, June of 09. I wanted to let you know that Becky Fisher is coming back to Texas. I know I have a lot of listeners in Texas. And so June the 7th through 9th, she'll be in Granbury, Texas. And the conference there will be called In Search of the Glory Kids and Family Conference. That's June 7th through 9th in Granbury, Texas. And then June 21st to 23rd, she'll be in Lee's Summit, Missouri for another Kids and Families Conference. That one will be called The Mighty Name of Jesus. And then in July, she'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And July 22nd, 23rd, there is a conference for pastors. And then in August, she'll be in Bismarck, North Dakota. That's sort of her home territory there, Turlock, California, and Chicago. So I encourage you to make it a summer that counts. Make it a summer that counts with revival, and no mission field is more important than our children. Yes, and there are ministers too. So if you want to find out more about Becky Fisher, go to kidsinministry.org. I encourage you to do that. Come back. We'll talk about other ways to make your summer count. Do come and visit us on greatshalom.org, and you can put in your questions there and we can chat via blog. Did want to mention to you some of my books. I have a book on study skills. As your young people are facing finals, this might be of help. Finally, they'll be wanting to know. And so study skills, although they're more helpful at the beginning of the year. And my book, God Wants You Healed, my most popular book, God Wants You Healed. Summer is a great time to take some time out and spend with the Lord and get healed of those nagging issues. Yes. And then also my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom, a good book to start out with if you are considering homeschooling. And I encourage you to do that. Study over the summer so you'll be prepared in September. Please do consider your children, your comrades in ministry, and your greatest pastorate. Of course, do want to mention quickly that the Kenneth Copeland Ministries has the Super Kid Academy curriculum. It's very scalable. You'll love it, whether you're doing homeschool or a large church children's ministry. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.